Hi everyone, I'm Patricia Valerio from the Climate Tracker Network. Welcome to this episode of Climate Tracker Specials Asia, where we take a deep dive into the media industry in the region. So I'm sure you've all noticed that all of a sudden we've been using a lot of plastic. The pandemic has really made plastic inescapable. Here in the Philippines, where I am right now, for example, our government has decided that we need to keep using plastic face shields when we go out. Right now, we're the only country in the world that requires this. But this surge in plastic use is why we at Climate Tracker, in partnership with the Break Free from Plastic movement, work to assess media coverage of plastics in Southeast Asia before and during the COVID-19 pandemic. We looked at articles published in Malaysia, Indonesia, Thailand, Vietnam, and the Philippines from March 2019 to February 2021. You might be wondering, why Southeast Asia? I mean, aside from the fact that this show is called Climate Tracker Specials Asia, the thing is, this region is a major contributor to plastic pollution in the oceans. But then again, plastic doesn't only impact marine biodiversity, it also contributes to climate change. So more than 99% of plastics, for example, are made from chemicals sourced from fossil fuels. So this results in greenhouse gas emissions at every phase of their life cycle. And Southeast Asia is especially vulnerable to climate change, especially since much of the population and economic activity in this region are concentrated along coastlines. Anyway, I'm here with four other researchers who worked with me in the last 2 months on this project. Yvonne from Malaysia, Ariel from Indonesia, Cade from Thailand, and last but not the least, Trang from Vietnam. So I'll let them tell us more about themselves. So maybe we can start with Yvonne. So you're joining us from Germany right now. Like, how are you? And can you tell us a bit about yourself?
Hi, thank you. I'm Yvonne and I'm from Malaysia. But yes, I'm currently finishing up my master's in Germany right now. So yeah.
How about you, Trang?
Hello, Patricia. My name is Trang. So I am a reporter for Vietnam Law Newspaper, a press agency under the Ministry of Justice in Vietnam. And I've been a reporter for 5 years now. And my articles cover various issues from environment, culture, sports, to tourism. A little bit about my education background. I graduated with a bachelor's degree in psychology and another bachelor's degree in legislative law.
Thanks, Trang. Yeah, like you really know a lot about this topic. I mean, we all do, but yeah, like it's nice to know more about your background. How about you, Cade?
I'm Joy Yu from Thailand, Bangkok. Currently, I'm an independent researcher and project coordinator working on several projects related to business and human rights, including sustainability. Prior to this, I used to be a journalist, cover the story about the Mekong dams and energy in Southeast Asia.
And last but not the least, Ariel from Indonesia.
Currently, I'm working for the Indonesian Secretariat for Marine Debris Handling, in which we aim to reduce 70% of Indonesian marine debris by 2025. And in my work,
I deal a lot with plastic because it is the most polluting materials in our ocean. So that's why I am really interested to join this fellowship.
I think we've seen from the media coverage in the region that like the harm that plastics can do to like marine life is something that's been highlighted by like many news outlets across the region. So like, your different backgrounds are like very relevant to this project, definitely. So I guess just a bit about myself. I was like a former Climate Tracker fellow. I was a fellow last year for a media research project. I recently graduated with a public policy master's recently, well, last year. I don't know how recent that is anymore. But I've also written extensively about climate finance for DevEx. It's like a media platform for international development professionals. So yeah, that's a bit about me. I really want to know more about your fellowship experience. So some of you here have worked with Climate Tracker before, like me. So how has this been like experience for you? How different has it been? Is it more or less similar? I mean, I'll let you guys talk.
I think for me, what I enjoy about every like climate tracker experience is that we can kind of meet other people in the region, in the Southeast Asian region, who also work on climate change, because that's kind of a very rare thing, I feel, where we constantly basically work together, you know, and assess like climate change in Southeast Asia.
Yeah, definitely for me, like one of the highlights of this project, it's really like working with other researchers from the region and just really like getting to meet people from different backgrounds. So that's been like the most fun aspect for me. How about the others?
So I totally agree with Patricia and Yvonne. Well, as the reporter in Vietnam, I have written and witnessed like plastic pollution in Vietnam, like by my own eyes, and I've written a lot of articles about the issues. But like when I participated in this fellowship, it gives me a big picture of like how media coverage in Southeast Asia about the plastic issues, and it kind of gave me the big picture, and it helps me understand more about the limitation of the present media coverage over the issues. And it also helps me reassess my own writing so that I can deliver the information more effectively in the future.
For this project, like we've like had conversations with different journalists across the region, and some of the journalists I've talked to, for example, they found this like experience really helpful for them because, as you said, it helped them reassess their own writing and kind of reconsider like what their approach should be to these like different issues. How about you, Ariel?
Well, I had a really great time here as a fellow of Climate Tracker. I admit that I was kind of nervous at the beginning because I was the only one here without a journalistic background, right?
But fortunately, Climate Tracker team is really supportive on this. We had these classes on the basic of content analysis, framing analysis, and also interviewing people. So those are new things for me, and it's really interesting to learn all of that. And Patricia, as our coordinator, is very helpful too. She's always there for our concerns and also our questions, no matter how we think, how silly is that. So in this fellowship also, I especially enjoyed interviewing people from the news outlet because I just found it really great that even though we work in a different field, we all have the same perception, concern, and also hope towards the reduction of single-use plastic.
Thanks a lot, Ariel. I just want to say that I didn't tell Ariel to say that about me. But yes.
Yes, you didn't.
And Kid, how about you?
I actually used to join Climate Tracker as a media researcher last year on renewable energy. So I think that is something similar and different. This research opened my eye on plastic issue. Like I learned a lot about the recycling industry, about plastic companies, and every discord that appear on Thai media.
I guess like for me, since I mentioned earlier, I was like a fellow last year. This time I was also a researcher and also like a co-lead of this project. So it's been interesting for me to see both sides of it. So I've had to learn to how to manage my time more wisely. And I've also had to like kind of just like leave the work I've been doing for a while, since I think if you've been like reading the same thing for like quite some time, you need a fresh pair of eyes if, you know, you want to have like a more critical approach. But yes, for me, it's been really fulfilling to like work with you guys. For me, it's like the first time that I've met you like through this project. So for me, that's been the most fun part of it. So I guess like we can like start talking about the research itself. I wanted to ask, like, what's the most like interesting or surprising finding for you, or even just like something that wasn't immediately obvious to you while you were doing this research?
I think for me is when I was talking to interviewing some journalists, they were telling me how difficult it was to kind of cover on plastic, like illegal plastic recycling factories, where they would get harassed by, you know, thugs and had basically were chased down. And I never expected something like plastic to really be, you know, surrounded in violence and really have dangers of on-field reporting. To me, that was really eye-opening, that something like plastic is a very heated political issue still, at least in Malaysia. So yeah, but I'm not sure about the other places in Southeast Asia if this also was the case.
Well, in Vietnam, I think it is not an issue like when reporters will be chased like that. In Malaysia, I think it will be tough. But like in the media of Vietnam, I think it is obvious, but I think I have to address this first. That is, all news outlets in Vietnam are state-owned. So the media is like playing an important role in like communicating the state policies. So it's kind of obvious, but I think it is like the focus in Vietnam, and it's kind of the reason for other issues. Like most of the news in Vietnam just focus on delivering the national and provincial policies. And so many scientific researchers are overlooked. So the plastic pollution is a pressing issue in Vietnam and in the world right now. And it's for a decade at least, but it's still little people know about the real scale and the depth of the problem. And there's still a big gap between the people's knowledge, the framing orientations of media, and the reality of plastic pollution.
Yeah, thanks for giving those perspectives. Like for me, I was also quite surprised at plastics. I mean, like Yvonne, I was quite surprised that it would be something quite controversial. Like for example, I sent like some media requests to like certain journalists, but like for some reason they declined. So I was surprised about that. Another thing, maybe I shouldn't find this surprising because I've also worked for a newspaper, is that like some journalists, they feel like they can't really talk much about like corporations' role in like plastic production. So a lot of coverage in the Philippines about these companies, they're focused on like for example, how like a company is like reducing plastic waste, but not really like their own like plastic production. So a lot of like this coverage is very favorable. And a lot of journalists think that they can't really like cover these issues like in a more critical way, because like a lot of these companies are also advertisers for like their own publications. So they feel like it's not worth like, for example, spending time on a story that might not be published in the first place. So for me, that was interesting, but perhaps not so surprising. I guess another interesting thing I found is that, so there's this law in the Philippines called the Ecological Solid Waste Management Act. So when it was passed like nearly two decades ago, it was hailed as a very progressive law for its like decentralized approach, but its execution has been like really sluggish to say the least. So I think you can even say this about a lot of laws in the Philippines. So they're good on paper for sure, but their execution is like really lacking. So one thing like that was mentioned in like articles is that, so like through this law, this National Solid Waste Management Commission was created, and this commission was tasked to like prepare a list of, well, quote unquote, non-environmentally acceptable products, or NEAPs. But it actually took like two decades for this commission to publish this list that kind of became the basis of several plastic bans around the country. So you can really see from like the media coverage that some advocates, for example, have described this law as like quote unquote pathetic. And I found it surprising that there were like these really strongly worded statements, because I think they really capture like the frustration of advocates over the implementation of this law. How about like in Indonesia and Thailand, like what interesting thing have you found from your research?
From Thailand, I think Thai generally see plastic is a less political issue. Like they see that every party agree that plastic single is bad, but how to deal with it is the way they think like how to deal with this is different. Mm-hmm. And it's similar to the Philippines that journalists cannot investigate or deep dive into plastic companies. Like actually there many plastic story is listed under business news sector, but actually it's like it's most of them are PR stories.
Well, in Indonesia, I interviewed the journalists, and they said that they, of course, face some challenges in reporting this plastic, this
single-use plastic issue, but not as extreme as the one is in Malaysia, I think, where the journalists are being chased by the tags. Here in Indonesia, the journalists sometimes found that it is difficult to actually interview the representative from the business or the private sector, especially if it's talking about the recently issued regulations on the single-use plastic ban. When those representatives or the private sectors are being interviewed about the topic, about the single-use plastic ban policy, they usually did not give a really clear answer, you know, or like avoiding the journalists and such. That's the challenge that they are facing in Indonesia. And the other challenge is the COVID, really. Because during this pandemic, there are a lot of travel restrictions and also health protocols that have to be followed. So these journalists are really limited in terms of traveling. They can't really go to the field to take the stories on plastic waste management issues or plastic waste management success. So now instead they have to rely on online webinars, on online meetings to actually gain information about plastic. So yeah, I think that's really interesting to know about how the journalists adapt towards the effect caused by the pandemic.
Thanks for bringing up the pandemic, because like the goal of this research project, one of the goals is that like to determine how like the pandemic has shifted the discourse, if it has at all, on like single-use plastics in Southeast Asia. And yeah, like a lot of journalists in the Philippines have expressed like frustration because of like mobility restrictions. So they haven't been able to like conduct more in-depth reporting. And I think we can see this in the kind of articles that have been published like during the pandemic. So a lot of these articles have been like restatements of official announcements, because like journalists are working from home. So like they've had to rely on these statements to like substantiate their own reporting. Like one of them told me that before the pandemic, they could easily just like walk into an official's office and like ask for an interview. But of course, the pandemic has like made that like virtually impossible, and it's harder for them to like get in touch with these officials online, because I think they have to go through a lot more hoops to like set these appointments in the first place. I think like just talking about like Southeast Asia as a whole, there hasn't been like a significant shift in the discourse during the pandemic, although I did find it interesting that in Thailand, for example, like plastics have been like depicted as like something that's necessary because of the health crisis during the pandemic. But before that, there was like kind of a momentum already against like, you know, the use of plastics.
I also want to add about the pandemic influence in the media coverage of a plastic issue in Vietnam also. Because when I'm doing this research, I actually looking, well, far more into the past, like decades ago, and I found out that actually Vietnam had a tax policy before on plastic in 2012, and then like over the course of like from 2012 to 2018-19, it was like plastic issues like was overlooked in Vietnamese media. But like in 2019, when the prime minister at that time, Nguyễn Xuân Phúc, he announced the national anti-plastic campaign. So the amount of plastic-related articles in the medias, like across medias, is like increased sharply. But it decreased during 2020 and 2021. So it's actually when I read about the COVID-19 pandemic in the plastic related articles, I found out that actually people put like the journalists in Vietnam didn't blame like the pandemic for the increase of plastic didn't put pressure on how much influence the pandemic could cause to the increase of plastic pollution, but they actually deliver just plainly pandemic related articles. So I found very few COVID and plastic articles, only just 3% over like 150 articles. I think it is a small percent compared to other regions when I did my research. So I think the reason it can be explained that during 2020 and 2021, like news about the pandemic has been prioritized over all media publications, and the attention on plastic issue just decreased because people put more attention into the health, the healthcare, and the pandemic. And when I interview like my contributors and reporters from the news outlets, they also admitted that there are few journalists who really care about deliver news about plastic. I mean, most of their focus they play more focus into delivering news about the COVID, the situation of COVID, more than to draw the connections between the pandemic and the plastic issues. And I also want to address the final point that when I was looking for the journalists, reporters, and contributors to interview, I find it difficult at first to find like the people who really care to answer, because there are few news reporters and journalists who interested in delivering news about plastics. I mean, that's one of my surprise at first.
Before the pandemic happened, actually there were a lot of plastic reporting, and it was the story like used a negative framing to single-use plastic, because at that time my country, Thailand, faced a lot of plastic pollution, marine plastic pollution. But and they start the campaign about plastic bag ban. But in the mid of January last year, there is a pandemic, right? So journalists and media outlet, I don't say they change the voice and tone, but it's like the number of plastic reporting is reducing at that time. I found certain story frame single-use plastic or plastic packaging from food delivery is still necessary, but they still encourage people to sorting plastic waste and encourage government to do the better waste management so that we solve this plastic problem during the pandemic.
It's been really interesting to see like the differences in coverage like before the pandemic, during the pandemic, and like these like different countries. I guess for Vietnam, because like it's the Southeast Asian country that has more or less like kind of like controlled COVID. Maybe that's also why there haven't been like a lot of mentions about like the pandemic and like coverage of this issue. For Thailand, yeah, like I think like especially early on, there's been like a lot of worries about, for example, the risks of like surface transmission of the virus. I think for a while we were all like disinfecting everything. So I think that really contributed to like the discussions on like why like plastics are still essential, especially during this like pandemic. But I think yeah, like there's been like growing consensus that like this virus is like predominantly airborne. So maybe that will also guide like, for example, like advocates against like plastic pollution to also kind of like reconsider their messaging. Like maybe they could like use that as like a jumping off point for like just making sure that like people still know that plastics, they're not, I mean, they can be like essential for like some cases, but they're not, you know, like completely essential. Like for example, for food deliveries, like here in the Philippines, like every time I have food delivered, for example, I actually have like paper products coming in. And I always think about this project when I have food delivered, because like establishments here, because of the plastic bans that are like implemented locally, they've been using like paper products. But I've also seen from like some media coverage that, for example, someone from like the Plastics Association here in the Philippines would say that like paper is like the least environmentally like friendly product. So there's been like a lot of conflicting coverage on that. Yeah, it's been really interesting to see like just the differences like before and during the pandemic and like across like these different countries. Overall, like one of like the regional trends that we found like during this research is that there's been a lot of media coverage that's been focused on like the reduction of plastic waste instead of plastic production. So like there's been a heavy focus, for example, on individual responsibility, on making sure that you're like recycling, reusing plastics. And there's been like very little scrutiny of like plastic producers across all countries. So like, for example, articles had this tendency of like highlighting like citizens, like for example, culpability in exacerbating plastic pollution, while like these business initiatives, you mentioned, Kate, that a lot of these are like PR content. So like a lot of these like business initiatives were like featured with like very little questioning. And I think that's the same for the Philippines. Like a lot of articles here on like these initiatives, for example, relied on like just quotes from like the company representative. So there wasn't a lot of scrutiny when it comes to this. I also want to ask, what do you want like media coverage of plastic pollution to look like, whether in your country or in Southeast Asia in general?
I guess the most obvious thing is, of course, safety of journalists whenever they cover on issues like this. Because the reason why it's so difficult to, why they have to go through this drastic measure of doing on-field reporting in the first place is because our government does not ensure that we have freedom of information laws. So whenever there is no sort of right to information in Malaysia, and the way that journalists have to sort of mitigate this problem is that during press conferences, they will ask questions, but usually they don't really get an answer. Because it is punishable by law, if civil servants, you know, give out government information, so they have to do on-field reporting, and that also compromises the safety of journalists. And sometimes when you read the news, it's like, oh, why is it not more critical? But when I learn about how, you know, there's so many sort of barriers to accessing information for Malaysian journalists, it's really, you know, there needs to be a whole new change to this freedom of information laws. And yeah, and this will have a lot of implications, not only for plastic pollution, but also, you know, many other areas as well. So yeah, I think with Southeast Asia in general, a lot of our media is kind of regulated, if I'm not mistaken, by the state. And so, you know, it will be really nice to have more press freedom, because that has implications on basically the fight against plastic pollution as well, because the public needs to be informed not only of global statistics, but also how it's affecting our individual countries as well.
As for me, I think I want to see Indonesian media talk more about the impact of the single-use plastic. I mean, compared to other countries, Indonesian media talk less about the impact, be it the social, economy, or environmental impact. This is from what I found in the research, of course. And I think talking about the impact is important, because by talking about them, it can influence the awareness of the society. It can raise the awareness of the society. Because by showing the society how this plastic pollution might, can, and also will affect them, they will empathize better with this issue. And with this empathy, with this connection towards the issue, they will have hopefully a change in their mindset about this issue, and will hopefully lead to a wiser behavior on single-use plastic usage here in the country.
Well, as for my country, Vietnam, I would like to see journalists and the media in general put more focus on the technical aspects of the plastic issues, because as I mentioned before, despite the threat of plastic pollution to the marine life and human health in my country and in the world, most journalists do not dive into the diverse and complex technical issues about plastic. And besides delivering news about governmental campaigns and reports from the companies. And I think that the minimalization of technical aspects can help simplify the aspect issues for most readers, regardless of their academic level. So it can contribute to to improve the individual responsibility, as Patricia said, but the lack of scientific background and the real depth of the plastic issues was overlooked, and I think it's missing the whole picture of how plastic pollution affects the life of individual and community, or the animals and the ecosystem.
For my country, Thailand, I actually want to see journalists and researchers working together to deep dive into plastic related issue. And I found that all the journalists have a good intention to solve this issue, to solve plastic pollution, but actually they lack a lot of knowledge about plastics. They cannot produce multidimensional story about plastic. And I also agree with Yvonne about the information law. I actually want to see they investigate the plastic industry in my country as well.
I also wanted to add for Vietnam's part, that is, when I was researching all the articles, I feel like the writers are mostly very they deliver the message in a very boring way, just most of them are straight, simple, hard news with like one or two pictures. And I have read and seen a lot of like international articles about plastic issues that deliver really strong message, like a picture of a turtles with a plastic straw stuck in his nose, and it's deliver such a strong message and got spread really fast. And I think Vietnamese media needs something like that. We need more like screen presentations, such as like documentary films or like televisions, more digital medias to promote the information more effectively, so that the readers can absorb the information, the narratives, in a both valuable way and also entertaining way.
Yeah, like I feel like there also needs to be a balance between like conveying the urgency of this issue and at the same time like not making like readers like the audience like feel helpless about it. Because I think there's also a tendency for like people to think that, oh, it's such a huge issue, I can't really like do anything about it, no matter how much I, for example, recycle or use my plastic. So I feel like there's space for like a discussion on how like more like systemic changes can be implemented to like really address this problem. But yeah, I agree, because like in the Philippines, like a lot of the articles, they're very simple articles, like they're straight hard news, and often they're just like about like another plastic ban that's been implemented in another city, and they would focus on like the penalties. So they wouldn't really be like, you know, like a big picture kind of reporting, not something that you would see, for example, in like international news outlets, like for example, like the New York Times. So it's not, there's no like, I feel like there's no funding for like this kind of reporting. And if it's something that journalists want to engage in, they kind of have to like use their own resources, because like they're also like working on multiple assignments per day already. So I think that's like an interesting like point to bring up. And like regarding what you said, like from the research, like I think like journalists in like Thailand and Vietnam have raised the issue of like not having enough local experts on this issue. So I think that's interesting, because like for the Philippines, like there's a very strong like presence here of like environmental nonprofits. So a lot of like the sources here, for example, use reports, studies from these groups, and like some of these, like they kind of present a more global outlook. And here in the Philippines, I think that's like a very popular approach to like discussing like environmental issues. But I find it interesting that in Thailand and Vietnam, like journalists want something that's more like specific to like, you know, their own countries, to make it more relevant to the readers. So like for the Philippines, I would personally want to see an approach that like takes into account the big picture. So I mentioned earlier, often a lot of articles about like plastics here, they just like restate official announcements, and they focus heavily on, for instance, like the penalties imposed on like would-be violators of plastic bans. So there's also like very little, if any, discussion on how plastics are linked to climate change. Because I think in general, there's also like very like low awareness about the relationship between the two. So like another thing I would want to see is like more scrutiny of like plastic producers. So I know this is very difficult, because a lot of these companies are also advertisers in a lot of these news outlets. But I hope we can see more like reporting on that. But yeah, when it comes to like coverage of corporate initiatives, I think it's great that these companies are actively like doing something to reduce their like plastic footprint. But again, like if these companies aren't doing anything to reduce their like plastic production, then it doesn't really sound like they're completely committed to like curbing like plastic pollution.
I think that Patricia just brought a very interesting point about the climate change, because like in Vietnam, in Vietnamese media, so plastic pollution was like depicted as a big threat to the planet Earth, and but mostly to the marine life and human livelihood. And I think it the majority but I think the media just missed out the point that it could influence the climate change, which is also a big issue in Vietnam right now. And I think one of the reason to explain that is because we like the local scientific research concerning single-use plastic, but we have a lot of researches in climate change, and because of these limited number of local researchers specializing in just plastic issues, so most of the articles about plastic quote researchers from like international organizations like United Nations or some research companies in England or in the US. And I think it is, because the points of climate change is very interesting, because I think I have not thought about that. I mean, I haven't thought about like the missing like a really big missing piece in the Vietnamese media coverage over the plastic issues.
Yeah, like for me too, definitely. Like it's not like a link I would have made myself if I didn't, for example, like conduct initial research on it, because it's not something I see covered in like Philippine media. And I think this is true for like other Southeast Asian countries in this report. So there hasn't really been like a link that's been established between these two. I think people still kind of like see them as like something like as like totally like separate things. So I think there's definitely space for like the media, I guess, with the help of like environmental organizations to like just establish like that there's a link between the two, and like plastics just like by their very nature, they're made from like chemicals sourced from fossil fuels. So like at every like aspect of every stage of their life cycle, like they're generating like these greenhouse like gas emissions that are like very damaging to the environment and like contribute to climate change. So I think that wraps up our research. Do you have any final thoughts to share?
I think it's obvious that media plays an important role in this information age, and especially during the pandemic, about the plastic issues in particular and other issues, and people like readers must be informed of official and accurate news and want of fake news by media workers. And this particular plastic research, I think it is very important to not only journalists but also readers, researchers in the fields, and like whoever are interested in the media's and in plastic issues and even in climate change issues. I think it is also, this research is also a form of communication to the audience about the plastic issues. And I think it is a very interesting experience for me. And I think the report will be, and I hope the report will be a very interesting like experience for the readers. And I think that the plastic issues is a pressing issues, and we should cooperate more so that we can like together solve this plastic pollution.
I just want to echo Trang. It was also very interesting for me as well, because now that most of Southeast Asia has sort of imposed plastic bans, so on straws and bags, you know, now the question is, what is next, like if our governments are going to implement policies on plastics, which have kind of been derailed since the pandemic, like it has not been a prominent issue anymore. And I just hope that, yeah, like the readers also enjoy reading our report. And especially because something like plastics issue, you don't really tend to realize, yeah, that a media angle is also quite an important one in sort of assessing how we tackle the plastic issue as well.
Yeah, I just want to see the next step after plastic policy, after the pandemic. And also, I really recommend journalists and researchers and NGOs to read this research, because it's good to understand how journalists cover this story, how journalists understand or perceive a plastic issue so that they can work with them.
Plastic is a very pressing issue, not because it's not only because it's affecting our oceans, affecting our ecosystem, and also
damaging our organisms both in land and the sea, but how it's closely linked with the climate change. So we have to put extra attention on this plastic issue. And I think the media play a really big role in raising awareness of the single-use plastic reduction. So I think it will be really nice for others, maybe for researchers, journalists, and also just people who have some concern regarding the plastic, single-use plastic issue, to read this report. And I think in the media itself, of course, there are challenges in reporting this single-use plastic. But I remember what Sunarti, editor-in-chief of Kalimantan Post, that I interviewed, who said, there is a responsibility in protecting the environment. If it is not the journalists who are reporting about the negative impact of single-use plastic, who else will?
Thanks a lot, everyone. Yeah, I hope whoever is listening can like take time to check out the report, which will come out in the following weeks. They can check it out on the Climate Tracker and Break Free from Plastic websites. I hope you've learned a lot from this episode. I agree with everyone that I hope like everyone who's listening can enjoy reading the report, because I think there's a lot to learn from it. We've also worked very hard on it in like the last 2 months. So I think journalists, environmental organizations, advocates have a lot of insights to like glean from this report that we've prepared. So that's it for this episode. Again, this is Patricia Valerio for Climate Tracker Specials Asia. For comments, suggestions, and feedback, you can email us at podcast@climatetracker.org. And I hope you can join us again next time.